Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. John, it's time for supper. Now, that would be my mother or one of my three sisters opening the front door and hollering out of the house. Well, that's what they did back in the day because, well, you see, that's what I did. I was outside. I was outside playing. Now, unlike kids today who are inside sitting in front of video games, that's where they're easy to find. No, for me, I'm outside down by the creek playing down there, maybe playing wiffle ball back behind somebody's backyard, you know, running around, getting sweaty, all that kind of thing. That's what we're doing, outside. Now, if you heard your name being yelled a second time, that's not a good thing. So you made sure that when you heard you ran home because you didn't want to get in trouble. Now, funny thing is that you come inside and I'd sit down there at the dinner table, and my mom would ask me, "Hey," I'm like, "What? Wash your hands?" No, go wash your hands. Well, I go into the bathroom there, you know, with the appropriate mopey face on, you know, as I'm leaving the table there. And so I go in there and rinse my hands and come back in there to sit down. My mom's like, "Hey, show me your hands." I'm like, "Okay." Now, my palms were relatively clean. Now, she'd say, "Turn your hands around." I'm like, "Huh?" I turn around. She goes, "Go back in there and use soap this time. All right? Wash up to your elbows." Now, she's telling me to do all these things, and I'm going back in there to go do that. You know, she's asked the question there just kind of out loud. It's like, "Well, how did you get so dirty anyway?" Now, the first thought that's running through my head is, she's obviously never played outside before. Now, washing hands is the topic of discussion here in a gospel reading here today. And the Pharisees have been watching Jesus' disciples. Now, the Pharisees wanted to make sure that you follow the rules, okay? All 613 of them. Now, Moses gave us the Ten Commandments. The Pharisees, well, they added more. 613? And here they are. Incredible. So they added 603 extra rules that you had to follow. And obviously, washing hands was one of those rules that they stuck in there. Obviously, some Pharisee had his mom there, made sure he washed his hands all the time, so he snuck that one in there. And that's what they did. And so now, you know, that kid who always told on you, "Hey, Johnny didn't wash his hands." You know, he's a Pharisee now. So here he is telling Jesus, "Hey, your disciples, they're not following one of the traditions of the elders there and washing their hands." Wow. Jesus is like, "Really? Okay. Is that what you think is so important? Washing your hands? Who came up with that idea?" Now listen to what Jesus has to say to these Pharisees as he replies to them. "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." Ouch. I mean, Jesus is really slamming these guys here by saying this. He calls them out by quoting Isaiah, calling them, "You hypocrites. You only honor God with your lips. Your heart isn't in it. You're worried about dirty hands when you should be worrying about the fact that you have dirty hearts. You've got all these extra rules here, okay? All these extra rules to follow there, thinking that's what's going to make you righteous in the eyes of God when you've forgotten all about God and His commandments in the first place. You elevate your rules so much that God is now left out of the picture. You end up rejecting God that way. Lip service. It's funny how many things, the sayings that we have here, ended up coming out of the Bible. Lip service, that's one of those. Okay? Saying one thing and not meaning it. Like saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and then going out and burning it. Or perhaps like quoting the Bible and then not believing what it says in the first place or believing in God. All of that is lip service. It's dangerous stuff when that comes to the Lord. But do you find yourself guilty of doing that, perhaps? Now, when I was in sales, I used to work for someone who said he regularly went to worship. During the week, he had no problem taking clients to strip clubs. So I asked him, I said, "What about that?" And he's like, "Well, you know, it's okay." I'm like, "Really?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, well, I go to confession on Sundays. I get all cleaned up, and then I can go do what I want during the week, because I know next Sunday I'll go back and get cleaned up again." Really? That's kind of lip service. It's exactly what Isaiah was talking about, what Jesus is reminding them. Does that sound rather extreme? Perhaps. But how many of us then come to worship on Sunday and then go do what we want throughout the rest of the week, knowing that, hey, we can come back here too? You see, we can do that. Sometimes it isn't necessarily that. It could be looking down on others, thinking you're better than somebody else. Perhaps they speak differently than you. Perhaps they wear different clothes than you. And you're not even thinking about what you are saying or thinking yourself. It's interesting. You think, coming to worship here. Okay, I'm here on Sunday mornings. I'm good, right? Sometimes that's just lip service. You see, lip service is a sign that, well, quite frankly, that we're not taking seriously what the Lord asks of us. And when we go down that road, well, we begin to realize that we have dirty hearts too. Because showing up just doesn't count. Because we aren't doing it right. You see, when we're ignoring the Lord, when we're in here in worship, spending all our time, it's like, well, now, where are we going to eat after worship's over? You know, not worrying about what's going on during worship. The rather thing, it's like, well, we went there last week, you know, so we can't go there again. And we're thinking about those kinds of things. Or perhaps we're ignoring the Lord when we use his name as an exclamation. Oh, God, did you see what happened? Yeah, that's a sin. Okay, using the Lord's name in vain. Or perhaps, you know, it's something else. Perhaps you're saying a prayer right before you sit down to eat. Okay? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And then you realize, or perhaps you don't realize, that you've just invited Jesus to come to your meal. Think about that. He said, "Wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Now, with that being the case, consider the conversations you had around your dinner table. Did you realize that you had Jesus as your guest? You see, we have dirty hearts, hearts that break the Ten Commandments. You know, you see, you can go back to Scripture and find out that, hey, you know, if you break one, you're just as guilty of breaking all of them. And this is why Jesus came, to show us how to do it right. He came and kept all of God's commandments. He kept all 10 perfectly. He never sinned. He worshiped God without lip service. He worshiped with a true heart. He prayed with sincerity. He did it all right. And then he did something that is beyond human understanding. He offered up his life on behalf of sinners. He went to the cross when he need not die. But he did die on that cross, earning forgiveness of our sins. He did that not just to give us clean hands, but also to give us clean hearts and clean souls. Now this morning, if you're feeling like, well, yeah, you've got a dirty heart and perhaps you've got, well, been given lip service to the Lord. If you're feeling that way, then the Holy Spirit is working on you. You see, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit there, is to convict us of our sins, to point out where we are sinning. And then the next thing is that the Holy Spirit does, is then he directs our attention to Jesus. Because we realize that we're sinners needing forgiveness, and as he directs our attention to Jesus, that's where we find forgiveness. And then, on top of that, a cool thing too. the Holy Spirit then aids us in helping us live more holy lives. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to keep the commandments, to come and truly worship and appreciate what God has done for us. The Holy Spirit helps curb our tongue when we should. You may wonder how. You may be thinking sometimes, like, well, should I say that, or perhaps should I just keep my mouth shut? Okay? That's the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Perhaps you might stop and ask yourself the question, it's like, will this cause me to sin or someone else to sin? Better not do it then. You see, that's your conscience at work. The Holy Spirit there tweaking your heart as well. See, the more you study your Bible and the more you're in worship, the more your heart changes. And when your heart changes, you find that your attitude has changed as well. And so has your talk. And so you're finding out then that you are loving God more and loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's funny how after all of these years, well, I do wash my hands before I eat. Okay? Not because I have to. It's because, well, it's just a good thing to do, you know? It's a healthy thing to do. But also, too, I also wash them after every worship service. Now, that's your task to find out why I would do that. But after all these years of hearing about the Lord and Him touching your own heart, don't get in the habit of saying, well, I showed up at church on Sunday, I'm clean. That's lip service. But rather, when you come, appreciate what the Lord has done for you. Not just for today, but for every day. Consider how He has cleaned you up for all eternity. That's what our God has done for us. That's the love that He has for us. That's the love that He wants us to share through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.